The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
And when the rain came down, he heard a wild dog howl. There were voices in the night.
Don't do it.
Voices out of sight.
Don't do it. Too many men have failed before. Whatever you do, don't pay the ferryman. Don't even fix a price. Don't pay the ferryman until she gets you to the other side.
Speeding like a man on the run, a lifetime spent preparing for the journey. He is closer now, and the search is on. There's the ragged hill, and there's the boat on the river in the rolling mist. And he gets on board, and the light flashed, and the thunder roared. Dancing bones jabbered and moaned on the water, and still that voice came from beyond.
Don't pay the ferryman. Whatever you do, don't pay the ferryman until she gets you to the other side.
Brought to you by WKTV, I'm Wayne Thomas. Welcome to another Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. I think we should start out by meeting our co-host. And so, longtime co-host, Kim Colleen.
Hi, I'm Kim Colleen. I believe this is my third season with the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast Group, and I'm so happy to be here tonight.
And we have a special guest co-host. We know her well, and I think you're getting to know her better each time because she was our featured guest just 2 weeks ago, yep. Mama Mary Bassett.
Hi, I'm Mama Mary. How are all of you? The spirituality is very important. Our very next guest has been sent by the angels to help us along on our path, to discover spiritual adventures, answers, and truths, always pointing us in the right direction to connect us with the highest of powers in order to heal and to grow. It pleases me to welcome psychic medium, Intuitive April. April, how are you?
Hey guys, how are you?
Hi, April.
Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
The best smile in the business. I said that. Yes, I said that when we did the radio. And actually, you have a great page too that you use for your advertising. You have your picture on there with your great smile and all the colors, and the way it's laid out was very professional. And that really attracted me to you. That and the activity attracts me, and you've been staying busy. Did you create that page yourself?
Yes. Yeah. I did my website. I have a few pages. Which page are you on?
Well, I've seen a couple. They're yeah. Nice.
I'm all over too. Yeah. So
bright and red with your picture in the middle of it. Your big smile, very professional.
Thank you. Thank you. I do it all myself.
Yeah. I was a little bit cautioned by it, to tell you the truth, about what your intent was. And that's going to be in our inspirational thought. I'm going to talk about intent. But I know some things about you because we did talk to you on Cryptic Frequencies, Mama Mary and I, and you actually did a reading for Mama Mary afterwards, I understand.
Yes.
So I know she was interested in that, but you're a wife, you're a mother, you're natural born clairvoyant, which is a little bit different than someone who has some sort of a near death experience. And then all of a sudden now they're have psychic ability. Yeah. Yeah. So you can talk about that. Your celebrity psychic medium. We want to hear about that, who you do readings for as celebrities go. And what else?
You're a dope. All of them.
Yeah, it's a long list. So we're going to be here about 3 hours, I think. You're a ghost hunter, so you talk to ghosts, but the one of the things that most impressive on that list was you're a shaman.
Yes.
And shamans do things a little bit differently, so we want to talk about that too. And you mentioned before when you came out of the broom closet.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we want to hear about that too when you came out of the broom closet. So we're going to set you loose, but take a deep breath once in a while and let us join the conversation. Or maybe at some point you might want to
we'll interact with each other.
Sure. You might want to say, you know, do you have some questions? Because a lot of this is new to us and to our audience. And you explained this better than any other psychic. I've asked these same questions to other mediums, but your answers were better, I thought, explained it better in more detail. So we want to let you go so you can get into those details that you shared before. And another thing that you did is you kept answering my questions before I could answer, or before I could ask them. I know. That's what you said. You said, well, hey, I'm psychic, so what do you expect? Mama Mary did that 2 weeks ago when we had her on the show. I had a list of questions, but before I could get to them, she was already answering them. So
she's fabulous.
So we're going to turn you loose, you know, tell your story, and we'll have some questions, but go for it.
Yeah, I like you. They ask me questions, you know, so as we go along, direct me the way you want. So, well, my name's April. I'm known as the Psychic Housewife of New Jersey. And my website's Intuitive April. That's how I first started. When I first came out of the broom closet. I used to work for the police department. And after I left my job, I was there for 13 years. And I said to my husband, he always knew I could do this, but I kept it quiet because I didn't want anyone to make fun of me as growing up, or, you know, I didn't want to be the weird kid or anyone making fun of my daughter. But she was getting older, and I said, you know what? I don't want to be in an office anymore. It's not who my spirit is. So I said to my husband, I said, I'm coming out of the broom closet. I'm going to start doing readings. So before I ever like did anything, I said, listen, I'm going to make up business cards. I'm making a website. I said, I'll probably be gone on the weekends because I have a feeling I'm going to be doing fairs. I didn't even have this set up yet. But sure enough, I got a call to do the fair. So I was gone every weekend. Then I always, privately, I always got calls from people that knew about me to come clean their houses if they were having hauntings. So, you know, I'm doing this on my own. So, I said, you know what? I should start doing this with other people to be a little safe in case anything happens to me. So, that's what I did. I started doing readings. I started getting well known, doing podcasts, doing my readings. And now I do a show every Tuesday on Paranormal Warehouse. I do live readings. I just did it last night. So I know how this is, guys, right? Mm-hmm. So in the midst of that, do you want me to start with like when I was a child, how this first came about? Let me start with that.
Right.
Once a year. So my father had passed away when I was 2 years old. So 2 years later, my mom remarried and moved us to a new town in Little Ferry, New Jersey with my stepdad. So I guess within a little bit, few months into it, you know, I have my new bedroom and everything. And all of a sudden my deceased father shows up at my foot of my bed. And I just started screaming, Daddy's here, Daddy's here. So, you know, they just thought it like was having nightmares because he passed, but all hell broke loose. Like within probably like 8 months later, all of a sudden everything started going crazy. There's more spirits coming around. I'm seeing more spirits. I have my sisters, everyone's getting touched, pushed, but I could see them. So I'm telling them what's going on. This is scaring the heck out of my family. You know, I'm telling them there's a man in a gray suit, tall, skinny man with a hat, and he would just, I could hear him walk right up to my door, you know, right up to the door, and he would just stare at me. And at the time, as a child, like, I was so afraid hiding under my covers. Now I could see him in front of me, and I can also see him in how I see things when I do readings, because everything comes to me in my head. And, you know, let me explain to you, like, I like to explain to people, the way I see things is, like, say, everyone, picture your bedroom. Mm-hmm. You see your bedroom? That's how I see everything. So I get visions, I get symbols, visions. Sometimes it'll be a little movie that I'll see. And that's how I would see these people. But it sucks because, like, from my father coming in, he must open a portal. And this is what happens. When one spirit comes in, you'll be sure to find other spirits because they all find that doorway in, good or bad. So I had a few really bad ones, you know, like, so the one night I wake up and I'm facing the outside of my bed and I turn over because, you know, somebody's staring at you. I turn over and there's this black shadow figure, little tiny thing. I used to call him the statue because it was stiff, with red eyes, telling me it was going to get me. That was it. And he said it three times. I hate saying it three times. I'm always afraid to do that. Like, he'll come back like Beetlejuice.
Right. Or, yeah, there's another one, I think, Bloody Mary or something.
But it's funny, he said it three times, you know? So I never say it three times. I'll tell people what he said, but I'll never say it like three times in a row. But that's when all hell broke loose again. So then everything started up. Now it started up. It started mimicking my mother's voice in the middle of the night in my sleep, waking me up. I would hear my mom call me, and I would wake up. I was sleepwalking too, and walk to the top of the stairs in the pitch black, and I would wake up just before I went down the stairs. So it was trying.
What age was this?
I think now I'm probably like 7.
Okay.
This is my whole life. Like, I'm just, you know, fast forwarding.
Yep.
So now it's not working because now my mom had found me at the, you know, for the stairs, at top of the stairs. I mean, so now it starts going into my dreams. Now it's going in my dreams, show me that I could fly down the stairs. So yes. So I think, cause I'm a kid, you know, I'm imagining I could do this. I dreamt it. I could fly down the stairs. So again, I go to the top of the stairs, and my mom came in just in time. She's like, so I was ready to just go down and try to fly. She goes, what are you doing? And I said, I know I could fly, you know. So this thing was it was trying to make me hurt myself. So it didn't work, you know, thank God. Mm-hmm. Divine intervention, you know.
That's scary. That was your father's spirit.
I'm sorry?
That was not your father's spirit.
Oh, no, that was not my father's spirit. This is spirits that came in. Like I said, when I go to homes or I go to locations, that's why there's multiple spirits. But there's something else that I, you know, that I realized later on after doing so many investigations. Now I travel all over and I go to some of the most haunted locations in the U.S. But the one time I realized I had been at the Shanley Hotel, and I've been there numerous times. I know all the spirits. So some of them were a little mean to me at first, pushing me, grabbing me. One punched me in the head.
Oh my God.
One tried to jump me, tried to get inside me. So, but it's fun. Now I know nothing. Like, I know nothing about any location I go to. So half the times I'm driven there. I don't want to know anything. And I want to hear anything. Just, you know, and another thing now, like what I do is remote viewing. So this is like just started happening on its own. Before I go to a location, when my, you know, friends or the team I'm going with or the event I'm doing, as soon as they say, we're going to Virginia. And I said, all right, I'm going to tell you right now what I see. You know, I'm seeing bop, 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 this, there's a guy there doing this, this, and it's correct. So I said, wait, let's go there and let me see what else I can pick up. So, at the Shanley Hotel, after being there so many times, they took me down to the basement. I've never been down to the basement. Never felt this spirit before. When I got down there, when I tell you, it was the worst feeling I ever felt. And it started making me feel sick. This thing vibrated so fast. Like, you know, like how we're energy and we're constantly vibrating with the energy. This thing vibrated so fast that it made, it actually penetrated my aura, that was able to like shake me up inside, that made me sick. But I could see him and I said, oh my God, this thing, it was a tall, slender man with a bloody devil head. I know it's scary, but let me tell you something. Some things, like I'm so sick of like the demon stuff, blah, blah, blah. Some spirits can change their appearance to scare us. They do that. This, on the other hand, is different. Now, I got to tell you, they had a famous psychic in there from the UK a few weeks prior. Same thing happened to him. I said, I have to go upstairs. I was sick for about a week. You know, like I had to cancel all my readings. He wound up getting very sick. But the thing came up after me. I was sitting down in the kitchen and like on Nightmare on Elm Street, when they come through the wall, like it's rubbery. He came through the door and he says to me, he goes, I'm not here for you or the living. He goes, I'm here for the bad souls. So some bad people that did bad things in their past in the Shanley. So I'm like, oh my God. But then all of a sudden I'm like, he just made something pop in my head. And I started going back to other past investigations, residentials that I have done, private residents that I've done. And I said, oh my God, I have felt this presence in almost every place I've been to. They're soul collectors.
Oh.
They're soul I always felt the presence of them, but I thought they left when I walked in. Because as soon as I would walk into anything that feeling that I was getting, it would leave. And I said, all right, it's gone, you know, because it got scared of me. Because I know, you know, as being a shaman, they could feel my presence. Plus I bring a lot of people with me, you know, in spirit. And I realized that the Shanley, I'm like, holy crap, the same feeling I felt with this thing, they're everywhere. They're trying to, the lost souls, the people that didn't cross, they're trying to get them, you know? What they do, I don't know. I have to investigate.
It's like a grit. Like, is that like a Grim Reaper?
I don't think it's a Grim Reaper. I think the Grim Reaper comes for you when you're ready to pass. That's
okay.
Yeah. Most people cross over. Some people just get lost, you know? Mm-hmm. Like one residence that I did, when I went there, as a matter of fact, when the woman called me up, as soon as I got on the phone with her, I said, holy shit, I started seeing this creepy crawling woman on the wall. That's so creepy to me. That I said, oh my God, that was my worst nightmare to see that. I said, all right, I got to go over there. So I pray and they go in the house. So I already know, I don't tell the woman on the phone what I'm seeing. I want to tell her when I get there because I don't want to be afraid until I get there. So I go in there, I walk right in, I go in the kitchen. I said, things will get knocked off the wall here. And she goes, yes. I said, listen, I said, I'm going to tell you what I see. And I told her, I said, the creepy crawly woman knocking things off, causing havoc in the house. I said, do you hear knocking on your living room floor and scratching? She said, yeah. I said, because she's crawling on the ceiling in the basement.
Oh, good Lord.
I know. So now I'm walking through the house and I do my little thing. I do my little shaman things. I can't tell you everything I do as a shaman because it's sacred. So,
okay.
Yeah. I know a lot of people want to know about that. I usually don't like say anything. I just say I'm a shaman. I don't tell everybody what I do. It's safe.
Do you have like a very general description on what even that means without giving too much stuff away?
You know what? As shamans, we are the only ones that can get rid of hexes,
okay,
witches, curses, and all that stuff. We deal with the bad stuff.
Okay.
You know. So exorcisms, we are the only ones that can do. A lot of people don't know this, that shamans are the only ones that can do, except for the church, exorcisms.
All right. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, actually, deliverance ministry that I do with Preacher Man, that's mm-hmm. some of the things that we do. We deal with people who have family curses.
Yeah.
And witches have did spells on them, that kind of a obsession or possession on them.
Yeah. I usually don't go for it. I'm like, listen, if people let it get into your head, somebody don't let it control you, what they say. You know, words are powerful. Our words, everyone is a spell. So we can combat it with good. You know what I'm saying? That's how I always talk.
Prayer,
of course. Thing,
right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do research.
I'm a Catholic. Shaman is not a religion. So I'm Catholic, but I am a shaman too. And
I always research the guest, and shaman is something that we haven't really covered.
No.
So Usually shamans a little bit different. They enter a trance during a ritual and they deal with good and evil spirits. Yeah. That's what separates them.
Exactly.
From the others is the evil spirits. You covered so much stuff already.
Yeah.
The heck that you started.
I've traveled with my chief before I was made a shaman. I had to travel with my chief to the darker side.
Yeah, you mentioned your chief.
Yeah.
In the radio.
Yeah.
But you started out at a young age and you had these things telling you to do bad things. It parallels what I've ran into ghost hunting, where these little kids are being told by these entities to burn down the house, to hurt their parents.
Yeah.
And we warned this one family that this was going to happen. And sure enough, it happened. They didn't take the steps when we warned them to try to avoid that. I'm surprised that you kept going. You know,
you know what? I was stronger at the time because I was a natural clairvoyant already. Yeah. And I said to my chief, I said I was a shaman probably the day I was born because everything I was taught, I had already known. And I knew, well, I always knew good from bad. So I always, you know, I always knew I would do good. I always knew as a child that in this world, my job is to help people. That's my job. So that's what I have to do.
I love about you. And then that's what I found out on the radio. Like I say, I was a little bit apprehensive at first. I saw your page. I thought, why is she in this? Is she in this for the right reasons? Mm-hmm. And then after interviewing you on the radio.
Don't let the hair and lipstick fool you.
I know it did.
It did
a little bit. I have to admit it.
Yeah.
I formed an opinion, you know, I shouldn't have, but because after talking with you, I realized that you are in it for the right reasons, right? Yeah. Mama Mary, I'm wondering, have you ever ran into the evil or dark spirits like that?
Well, like I said before, the only time I really have ran into that lower earthbound or negative energy was when, after my ex passed away, he came back into our house about 3 months later. You can really tell the difference between just a higher vibrational energy that's trying to connect and, you know, dead energy or lower vibrational negative energy. There is a big difference and you can feel it. Anybody
can feel it. Harry, from the last time that I saw you, remember I said I kept smelling cigarette smoke? Again, as soon as I went on, I smelled the smoke. And I told he's not sticking around me. I told him that last time. But it's every time I get to talk to you. While we were talking the whole time, it's like if somebody was smoking a cigarette right next to me.
And through my research, I found out, I know you're clairvoyant, you're clairaudient, and I'm already familiar with clairsentience because I worked with a clairsentient medium already when we were ghost hunting. And there's claircognizance, but one of them that I had not came across was there's a smelling. It's called clairalliance.
Yes.
And I never knew that before, but because
it's horrible.
Yeah, because of you, I researched it. Yeah. There's also a clairgustance, which is you can taste things without having to put them in your mouth.
Yes. Yes.
So it's another sense. It's one of these clair senses. Yeah.
Exactly. It's all the senses that you can feel, taste. I know, like taste blood. Like if you taste blood, I've had that happen. It's horrible. It's horrible to like feel that. Or I take on the person's anxiety or anything they were feeling, the chest pains, taking it on. I hate the ones where I can't breathe, like where they had trouble breathing, because then my heart starts to race, like I feel like I'm choking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, our other co-host, Brandon Jose, is not here, but he's had those same experiences on ghost hunts where he thought he was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
He got that sick feeling that you described. And then Exie Susan Smith, our friend who's also psychic medium, she gets dizzy.
Yeah.
Really dizzy whenever
there's someone. Presence. That's when the barometric pressure is changing. Now, you know, Brandon Alves from Ghost Hunters, good friend of mine. He calls me a human data logger because they have equipment, a data logger that tests the pressure in the air that you can tell if scientifically show that there's spirit around, like there's proof scientifically. And Brandon will call me a human data logger because I can feel the pressure in the air change. Of course, the temperature, I can feel that all as I'm going into a haunted location or a residential. So when you're feeling the pressure, the barometric pressure is changing. It's the heaviness of spirit coming in, solidifying with the energies.
When you do your ghost hunting, I know you go in cold, you like to go in cold, and you actually start remote reading before you even get there. Mm-hmm. Do you go in first, or do they have a certain way that they like to use you?
Yeah, they throw me in first.
Okay.
Yeah. Go to psychic again.
Right.
Let's see if anything attacks her.
Right. Well, yeah, I know women make good bait for ghost hunting.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Hey, I've been scared on occasion. Because I was in Gettysburg.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. My God. I'm trying to think of that. Wait. I'm drawing a blank. The place I stayed at, it's a famous place. The ghost hunters have been there. But on my way driving to Gettysburg, I said, oh my God, I said, I'm going to this place and there's going to be a man staring at me. That's the creepiest thing to me, something staring at me. That creeps me out to no end. So when I get to the place, I'm going to the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange to see Pam and Steve Barry. So I'm doing readings there, but then I'm going to stay at this haunted location. And I said, Pam, I know when I go to sleep there, I said, there's a man there that's going to stare at me. She wouldn't say anything. So sure enough, you walk in the house, she goes, where's the man? And I walk into the bedroom. I said, he's in here. I said, but wait. So I said, I'm staying in this bedroom. So I go in the bedroom. That guy, he walks in. I said, oh, no, you don't. So I was holding the back. Well, I had to sleep with all the lights on. I said, oh, no, you're not coming here. But as soon as I do, I have my laptop on. I'm watching Sex in the City. So like I have the TV on for myself. The lights are all on. They were making fun of me. And this thing, I heard him. He kept waking me up. I'd hear him walk around the bed. And then he kept touching me. He kept touching my hip. But I could feel him staring at me. That's the creepiest feeling in the world. I always tell him before I go to bed. First of all, they're not allowed to wake me up anymore unless it's an emergency. But sometimes before I wake up, I could feel somebody staring at me. I said, you better be out of here in 10 seconds.
Oh yeah. Apparently it's important to set limits. That's what Exie told us, right?
Yeah.
She's had him in the shower with her.
Oh yeah, well that's off limits.
Yeah.
I think I scare them so they're not coming in the shower with me. Yeah,
she gives them a limit that they can only view her from the head up. Yeah, if she's in the shower.
Yeah. I get a lot of visions in the shower. The visions in the shower and when I walk my dog.
Oh, because you're at a calm state, maybe?
I guess so, yeah. I it's so weird. You know, I'll pick up stuff as I'm like in the shower and walking my dog. I get my best stuff from my dog.
And how about dreams?
Like a dog whisperer.
You know what? Right. I don't have dreams. I was like, I have a best friend, my best friend who's just regular and I love her to death. But she has prophetic dreams.
It's prophetic dreams.
Yeah. Right. I do not. Mine are crazy, but they're fun. I remember as a kid, I had a dream that I was flying a unicorn painting the world brighter colors. Like I was painting the world on a unicorn. Those are my dreams. So
we talked about dreams when you're on the radio and you and I said, we both do our dreaming while we're awake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But now Mary, yeah. She has the very explicit.
Yeah.
Crazy dreams. Yeah. I mean, in color. She's shared some of those with us. Why don't you tell us some of your dreams, Mary?
Oh, well, I would say one of the biggest ones that I had before like COVID hit, I was half awake and half asleep. And I kind of went somewhere and it's going to sound weird. Well, maybe not weird, but it was an alien and I couldn't see their face. And they're holding a shaman stick that one of my husband, he makes shaman sticks, but it was broken. And I was starting to pull out of the vision, but then it really bothered me that the stick was broken. So I wanted to ask them, you know, but it's broken. Why would you want a broken stick? And they said to me, well, you'll soon see. And they started showing me a bunch of series of events and gave me timelines and, you know, years and dates and, you know, to be ready for the big shift because it was coming. It was getting ready to hit. And then I realized, you know, a couple of days later after that, that's when COVID started to hit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was like one of those dreams where, you know, they told me the galactic center was where, you know, all the spacecraft or beings that aren't of Earth kind of gather and collect.
Yeah, I guess you have to interpret those dreams. Yeah, you're actually breaking up. We can hear you fine, but your lips don't always match. So I think your signal's a little weak. So intuitive April, do you have to, when people call, do they say, I had this dream, and then they ask you to interpret that dream for them?
I can. I'm not really a dream interpreter. You know, like I said, like I tell people, my dreams are my subconscious spilling over into the day, you know, from the day.
Sure.
I don't have those prophetic dreams. Sometimes people, I can tell right away if they tell me something. I'm like, you know, that's just, it's your imagination. Sometimes that's your way of your body freeing itself. You know, you have to let go.
So what do most people want to know when they
you? Well, you know what? Either they want to talk to a loved one. A lot of them just want to know what's going on in their life, what's going on in their love life, business, their work and everything. You know, I help a lot of businesses too, you know, guide them, what I pick up, what they're doing. So it's fun. Like today was a trying day. I brought a young girl, college girl's dad through. So heartbreaking. It was just like everything he was telling her, and she's crying and I'm crying. And I could just feel the pain in the father, you know, that he had to leave all this pressure on his daughter's shoulders as like, you know, as the eldest in the family, taking care of everyone. But some of it really takes a toll on me. Sometimes I try not to do too many readings in a day. I like to, like, I limit it to 5, but I read 7 days a week. So.
Wow. So
do you think you have a heightened empathy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I could see where that would weigh on you.
Yeah, yeah, it does. I've done, when I do my live readings, when I do live readings for people, I've finished, like, because I only have an hour limit, and I would get up and I'd go outside and cry because I felt so bad, because I could feel that so many people wanted to get on. I couldn't get to everyone. And then now, like, I'm overwhelmed with emails, text messages, it on my website, and I'm like, I can't get to everyone, you know, and I stay up all night, you know, looking and trying to answer everyone. Some of them are ridiculous.
Sure.
Some I will not answer. Like if it's a young person, like going through a breakup, it's, we all have to go through that. That's what's going to make you stronger, you know? But I do, if it involves a child or if there's an issue with a child, that takes priority. You know, well, so I'll call them up and I'll give them a reading. I do not charge like for that, for children, anything that involves children. I will.
That's one of the things on my list. I wondered if you did readings for children or if you had a age limit. You don't.
I won't read children per se unless there is an issue, like a paranormal issue or there's a health issue. I'm actually going to talk to the parent. I'll look at the child. I could tell them what's going on. So. You know, just guide them in the right direction. Say, listen, talk to the doctor about this or this. And sometimes I it's anxiety, you know, from a child. You know, it wasn't a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, they have to deal with a lot of issues growing up. And like you say, it's just part of growing up.
Yeah. Like if I get the young girls messaging me about their boyfriend breakup, no.
Yep.
No. This has to be something serious.
So you say you help and you want to help people and you around the world. I'm wondering how far do you go to Australia, UK, a lot of people in UK.
Well, you know what? I will have to do that remotely. I do a lot of people in UK, all over. I'm trying to think, Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Contacting me, France, wherever I'm needed, you know. So, and if I can, if I could drive there in the U.S. and fly there, you know, I'll do it, you know. And, you know, I got to do what I got to do. That's my job.
Yeah, I reach out to people around the world. Yeah. And I have had people from France, but they send me messages in French. And, and then I have to get a special app to...
yeah, you can Google Translate.
Right. But I'm guessing I'm going to try to stick with people that are speak English.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
Easier. Yeah.
Yeah, I try to stay local, like, you know, like in the tri-state area as much as I can, so...
So you are as far as we've reached out to New Jersey.
Yeah.
That's for us. And then we're going to try some other things. I was interested to see if you had a heavy accent, because when my friend from Australia was here, yeah, Kim goes, well, say something and with your accent. And so he did, you know, he played along with us. He said something about the dingo stole his baby, you know.
Oh,
With dingo that accent.
My baby.
Yeah. I love it.
Good one.
I love your accent too. We think we don't have accent here. We're in Michigan. We think that we don't.
But we do.
Right. Yeah. I was down in California, ordered a cheeseburger deluxe, and they're like, what is that? Where are you from? Wait. What do you mean? You don't know what a cheeseburger deluxe is? No, we've never heard of that.
But well, here, we know what that is. Yeah, cheeseburger deluxe. Come on. French fries, buddy.
At the time, they didn't know.
I don't know if you have it there. We have disco fries. Do you have disco fries?
No.
All right. That's with it's with mozzarella cheese and gravy.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a heart attack.
No, brown gravy, not marinara sauce. Right. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
It is good.
It's food. Food's one of my things anyway. Music.
You know what? That used to be our food after, like, we went out to a club. We would like go to the diner, because here, with like every place there's a diner here, you know.
Yeah.
And we get the disco fries. Good old greasy food.
Yeah.
Right. I knew you were down to earth. I wasn't sure at first. Like I say, I saw your picture. I saw that ad. Kind of did a little predetermined, but after talking with you,
said never judge a book by its cover.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do that, because I realize now that you are for legit.
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah. I just, you know what I like, you know, from Jersey, we're raised this way with the hair, the makeup, the nails.
Yeah.
You know? And as a matter of fact, when I was in high school, I used to go into beauty contests. So, you know, because I'm an artist, so that's, I wanted to do that and marketing. And so I used to go into beauty contests to get a scholarship.
Well, that's your
smart.
Yeah. Your business. You have a business also. It's some kind of a talent, but it's also paranormal. I couldn't really understand your business that you have.
Oh, my readings are my business. Like, I do readings, like, you know, people book me for readings. So I have my calendar. I'm booked every day.
You also had something else that you sent me. It was something about talent.
No. You know, I have an agent too, Flumeri Promotions. So I go out with, like, you know, it's called Flumeri Promotions. So Daryl Marston, Mustafa,
right?
Rochelle, Brian, all from Ghost Hunters. We all have the same agent. Rob Demrish just signed on from Ghost Hunters International. So I'll actually be with Rob. We're going to be doing the Shanley Hotel in March 26th and 27th.
Okay. And then you have the Holzer.
I was featured on an episode of the Holzer Files, the Lambert Castle here in Jersey, which that was crazy.
If our other co-host was here, Brandon Jose, he would probably recognize some of these names, because he's a great resource when it comes to the paranormal.
Oh, wait, you don't know the Ghost Hunters? Does anyone know Ghost Hunters?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They opened up the field for us.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. With that, when it was Brian and Grant. Well, Grant is also, you know, like, is on the Ghost Hunters with Daryl. Daryl is actually, I work for him too. Daryl is the co-owner of Paranormal Warehouse which I do my show on.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out how we met. I wound up reading him. So, and, you know, told him a few things that nobody knew. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And as soon as I was finished, he goes, you want to work for Paranormal Warehouse?
Well, I'm glad that that Kim knows that. She watches those shows.
I do.
I never really have watched those. Yeah. Any of those shows. I don't really get those channels, but.
Oh, well, what about that? Well, how I got my name, the Housewife of New Jersey, because I started reading some of the Housewives of New Jersey from the
TV. Of course you did.
Yeah, Kim D, you know. Some I can't because I just signed an NDA, so I can't discuss, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Kim doesn't care. Kim D. Kim D's the bad girl of the Housewives of New Jersey, so.
Yeah, I love it when you
drop. In fact, I got to call her. She texted me a few days ago. I forgot to text her back.
I love it when you name drop like that because the audience is going to know those names. But John Robert, that's the biggest name.
Oh, wait, who's that? Wait.
Isn't it John Robert? Am I saying it wrong? Yeah, I'm not sure. It was on your list of celebrities that you had worked with. Must not be Robert, John Robert. It must be some other.
Let me see what you're looking at.
Well, that's all right. It doesn't really matter. It's just another name to drop. We've opened up with
John Edward.
Robert.
Yeah. Oh my God, John Edward John Edward from Crossing Over. Oh my God, I love him.
Huge name.
Love him. Love him. I trained with, he was like the first person that like I when I started getting serious when I was going to go back into doing this, I was trying to try to regiment myself. I could already do it. I knew what I was doing. I naturally pick it up. So I said, let me work with another psychic. I worked with Cindy Kazar too. She's from the Holzer Files, Lisa Williams. But John Edward, I love him. Another one who I would love to work with is Kim Russo. She is my favorite medium. She's known as the happy medium.
Okay, yeah.
We have to look her up, Wayne.
Exactly. Oh, that's why I'm glad that you're saying these names. So because I do research.
Yeah.
And I'll follow up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we had you on the radio, I asked you about Ouija board. And you said, yes, you do use, and you have used the Ouija board.
Yeah. I'm going to put my glasses on. You know, let me tell you something. It's like a medium. Everyone says it's open portal. Oh, don't do it. It's the same thing as doing mediumship. The same thing as doing tarot cards. Any form. There's nothing wrong with it. TV made it scary. TV made it bad. You know? TV ruins everything.
But did you ever have an experience where something came through that you weren't asking to come through?
No, not with a Ouija board. Not with a Ouija board.
Did it work for you? Was it useful?
I don't think so. I gotta tell you, and I was with two, I have, you know, of course I'm friends with other mediums, and we were hanging out one day and I brought over a Ouija board. I said, let's try this, you know.
Yeah.
It was nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. You know what we do? Sometimes we'll hang out together, we'll have a few glasses of wine. We start throwing stuff together. Like we'll meditate together, and then we start doing readings for each other, bringing other people through. Good old fun. Good old very cool.
Dowsing rods. Have you ever used those?
No, I played around with them, but you know, I see. Like another thing. That's another. There's all forms. We all have different ways to interact with spirit and with energies. Whatever works for you, you know?
Right. A lot of my friends,
different gifts.
A lot of my friends that are ghost hunting or paranormal investigators are using some of these new phone apps, and they're using an Estes method where they're blindfolding themselves.
You know what? I love that.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of that. That's fun.
Yeah. That opens up some of your other senses.
Yeah.
Deny yourself. Yeah. Your sight. And then you wear those special headphones, noise canceling headphones.
Yeah, with the white noise.
Yeah, so, right, with the white noise and spirit box, it creates that white noise. I have had success with that, but most of the time, it's a radio station coming through. I always liked the best approach was just to be quiet. You know, when my grandfather was hunting ghosts and digging up bones that were cemented in basement walls, people had been disbodied and cut in pieces and cemented in the basement walls and floors. He wasn't using anything. He was just staying there, being quiet till the spirits came to him and then led him to his remains. So because I grew up being coached by somebody who did it that way, that's the approach I prefer. I know there are a lot of apps and stuff out there and devices that make a lot of noise. And from what my grandfather told me, ghosts are shy.
Yeah.
So you've got to treat them like you would trying to make friends with a wild animal.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do. You have to work at it. So you go in and you smudge sometimes. You bless homes and
Yeah, that's if I do the homes. Yeah. I'll use sage. I'm actually just talking to him too when I go in there. And you know, it's not like TV, because I'll walk into a house. I said, listen, this is not like what you see on TV. I said, I'm going to walk around. Right. I said, if you want me to talk out loud and you want to hear what I'm saying, I said, but I'm actually just having a conversation with my head. It's not all that, you know, all that
sparkly
stuff and everything. You want me to do that? I'll do it. I'll go around spreading glitter. No, right. I can't do that. I love glitter. But because I'll usually, like, you know what, when I go into a location, because I'm a psychic medium, they see me right away. We shine brighter. As a matter of fact, I did this we were just discussing this, the first time I went out with a team, they had the floor camera, the thermal camera.
I know what you mean. Right. Yeah.
So I said point it at me, because when I connect, I make my energy go up really high. So you can see my aura. And I point it up. It's like gonna be like a cone, a point going up high as I can. And I set up my energy field to spirit. So, you know, to grab onto. They caught that on the thermal cam.
Oh, cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Right.
I just tell my friends, I said, I got to get one, you know, because this is going to be my trick when I go to parties.
Yeah.
Put that down, mommy. Watch this.
Right.
I'm going to make lights come out my head.
Just so they're not horns.
Exactly.
Another thing is electrical magnetic force, EMFs. I definitely believe in those. I believe ghost gives off that. And it's just like the vibrations that you talked about. We all have them and they change. We talked about that on the radio, like an angel might have, it has a higher frequency than a ghost that maybe has just left.
Mm-hmm. It's, I could tell by the frequency that I'm picking up. Like I'm like a radio, I'm picking frequency. I know what I'm dealing with, what type of energy I'm dealing with.
I think that's key to what your power is all about, is that you can pick up those frequencies. You're sensitive, and certain people are so sensitive to electrical magnetic forces that they get ill if they're like underneath power lines, if there's somewhere where a radio station, like a big radio station, will give off a lot of EMFs, crazy EMFs.
Yeah, it's like kryptonite to psychics. I'm telling you, that thing at the Shanley Hotel, that was my kryptonite. I've never had anyone penetrate my field. You know, well, you know what too? Listen, when I go into a haunted location, I don't go in protected either, like I used to. Because if I go in protected, they're bouncing off of me or they're running far away from me. So we're not getting any activity. That's not good for when people are paying for an event to see me at.
Right.
So I have to go in there blindly. So when I did that, I was like completely, you know, now I know with this thing that I'm prepared to go down there. But that was the first time I ever encountered something like that. But you know what? It was a great learning experience. And I was very happy to meet it, because now I realize it made me realize a lot of things. Another thing I have to research.
I believe you when you say they know you're coming. It's been the same way. Ghost hunting is like, they know we're coming before we ever get there. And we pick up things that suggest that, they knew we were coming. They know our names. They say our names out loud.
Time is nothing to them.
Yeah, time, right. Time, there is no time on the other side.
No.
And that's why I think a psychic medium can't tell you exact dates and times that things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Because that knowledge is not on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I can get that if I'm using my tarot cards just to get a feel for it. Like I get feelings from like my cards, and I'll know around what time something's coming.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. We talked about when Mary was on 2 weeks ago, we spent a lot of time on signs. And one of the things that we talked about was goosebumps and two people getting goosebumps at the same time. And I couldn't think of the term on top of my head, but after we had that, I looked it up and it's Frisson. It's Frisson. It's when two people get the goosebumps at the same time. And
I find you so interesting because you do so much research. That's great.
Yeah, because I want to know.
That is one of the most key people in a group is the researcher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, researching before you ever get there.
Because you know what? Because you can vouch. Because I don't know anything about the research. I when they have this, like when I go out with a team. Do not put me on your, when they're doing a group chat, I can't hear anything. I don't want to hear nothing. It'll mess me up. But I love the researchers because those are the people I'll discuss with because they're the ones that tell me that I'm right, what I picked up. Like I did a location. This is a famous place here in Jersey, Kingsland Manor. And I remember before going there, I'm in the bathroom getting ready, brushing my teeth. And all of a sudden I'm interacting with George Washington.
Oh,
he was
nice.
There. He's telling me he was there with his men. He showed me how his men had to hide. So I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm like, all right, it makes sense for the time period of this place. So I go there and I'm talking to the curator, Leon, and I'm like, Leon, you know, I saw George Washington, you know, I kind of like picked him up on my way here. You know, he said he hit out with the men. He go, oh, nope, wrong time period. And I'm like, no, I said, you're wrong. I said, I know I'm right. When I get information, it's right. And I said, all right, Leon, I said, maybe you're right. Maybe it was maybe it's the land or something, whatever. But even while I was there, I'm like, I kept seeing George Washington's men hiding. Like I was seeing back then. So 2 days later, Leon calls, he goes, April, he goes, you were right. He goes, he sent me a copy of a piece of paper that George Washington hid out there.
Oh, I was nice.
His men had to hide out there. So I said, well, it's good for the place now that I told you about this, that it made you look for it because now you could say George Washington was here.
Yeah.
Verification. And I worked with a clairsentient before. And what she couldn't do is she couldn't tell me what time that the people that she was feeling, sentience is you feel things, you walk into a room, you feel it. She couldn't distinguish what time period. And we took her to a cemetery and I knew it was gonna be a problem. She came up with—
I can feel everything. I can feel time periods.
Oh, she came up with 20 some names.
Yeah.
I knew this was going to happen. I predicted it was going to happen. Sure enough, I can't work with 20 some names. I can't, if she can't filter them out to be more specific, then I can't work with that. Yeah. I've had a hard time with mediums being wild cards. They didn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? All right, you go into a cemetery, so you can throw out a lot of like names and you can hit on one of them, you know, like.
Right. You throw enough names out, right? You might hit on one, right? We actually need to move on.
I'm sorry, I am burning Palo Santo right now because the cigarette smoke of Mary's husband.
Oh, Mary's husband's coming through.
Yeah, always when Mary's around. Like he follows Mary.
Oh, right. So we need to move on in the show because we're running out of time. So,
okay.
Any shout outs, anybody? I know you have so many contacts. Famous people, anybody you want, someone that was influential in your life, you want to give a shout out to right now?
Oh my God. Well, especially my chief. Chief, Charlie McBride. I love her. I love her. Without her, like, she's my sanity.
There you go.
Yeah. She keeps me grounded. My husband, who I have the best husband in the world, that like, I'm gone for, you know, almost every weekend if I'm doing investigations events, and he's great that way. And he's my biggest fan.
So, and maybe late at night, 3 a.m., you're out. I'm guessing that's the way it was with me.
Oh my God, but you kidding? We're up till 7 in the morning. He laughed because I'll call him like in the middle of the night. I'm like, we're still going. I said, your mom is cool. I said, I'm in some of the most haunted locations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like crawling around on dirty floors. Trying to get EVPs.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, EVPs are my favorite.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
my
voices. I've had some really creepy ones, and the creepiest ones are the children when they're yelling out, "Mommy, I'm scared." Those are the creepiest ones.
Yeah, you know, I don't like, I got to tell you, a lot of times I tell people, if you're picking up children, most likely that's not a child.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You see them cross over. But you will catch the residuals.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a 10-year-old that was communicating with what she called her little friend, Trixie.
Yeah.
The little pony girl. Come to find out, it wasn't a girl at all, and it was a trickster. And we were getting played. It took us a year before we put all the pieces together. When she started levitating, at that point we said, "You need to call a Catholic church. We're done. We can't. There's no more we can do for you."
Yeah.
But we're in shout out. So, Kim or Mary, anybody you want to shout out to?
To my manager Ray Savino from Flamiri.
Okay.
Gerald Marston, I love him, you know, for bringing me on to Paranormal Warehouse, and my family, and two great guys for having me on.
Right. Aww. But all right, now, Mama.
So, and if anybody wants to reach me, they can go to intuitiveapril.com.
Yep, okay. That's coming up. That's where we're going to get into upcoming. But this is a good time to say that. We like to keep that for the end of the show. And so this is the perfect time to say that, where they can reach you. Mama Mary and Kim, any shout outs you want to do?
Oh, I don't really have anything per se. I just want to, big thanks to you, Wayne, for keeping our show going.
Yeah, well, we're going to do it from your house next. In 2 weeks, we're going to do it from your house so you can get the pressure.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Mama Mary, a shout out from you, anybody?
Just a shout out to you guys for having me on as a co-host.
Okay. Yeah. And Sarah Bassett. We always got to give Sarah Bassett, and of course our co-host, Brandon Jose, who couldn't make it. He's at work. Oh. He's an essential worker. He found that out when COVID hit. He's essential worker. So, and then upcoming, Mama Mary, you got anything upcoming?
The only thing I have going on right now are channeled readings in person and through Zoom. And I'm also doing a special class on chakras and Reiki 101 with attunements.
Excellent.
Oh, awesome.
Excellent. And then Kim, shout out. Upcoming.
Just to you.
Yeah, our shout out. I'll make mine to Steve, our friend in Australia, because he just got a hold of me again. So it was fun communicating with him, our friend Dylan in Australia. The rest of them, you know, we're going to be going to Canada. We're going to go to some of the southern states. We talked about that on the radio. We're going to Arkansas, Louisiana, and Kentucky for ghost hunting teams down there.
I got friends out there in Kentucky.
Yeah, we talked about that on the radio. Yeah. And then ghost hunting is what we know, I know best anyway. So
hey, you know what? Hit me up anytime. You know, I'll come meet you guys.
Or we could have you join as a guest host sometime.
Absolutely. I would love to.
Okay. I'm going to keep that in mind.
Wayne, we'll talk more because I find you so interesting.
Okay. And then
he's cool.
Mama Mary knows that we bring her in as she's guest host a few times now. Because I love that. Because people that are in the field, they know more about it than I do. I can do as much research, but they're the ones that have lived it, like you say.
Yeah, we're in the trenches.
From age 7, you started. So,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, Wayne, we got to give a shout out to our new Facebook page.
There you go. Right.
Yeah. Oh, what is it? Wayne and I are working on setting up the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. That's going to be important to us because that's where we're going to be posting all of our new shows and slowly posting all of our old shows over the past 3 seasons. So if you want to go back and see our podcast that we did with our friends from Australia, it'll be there. Or if you want to see us interview Bill Konkoleski with UFOs, it'll be there. So right. It's an easy one-stop spot to watch all of our podcasts in one complete area.
Yep. Kim awesome. Put that together. I love it. We had that thing loaded up with, you know, Cryptic Frequencies and Grand Rapids Ghost yep. Hunters Paranormal Podcast. It's loaded with shows.
Yeah.
You know, probably.
Hey, can I tell you one more little secret?
Yeah.
Can't tell you everything, but you might be seeing me on TV soon.
Okay.
All right. I'll let you know when.
Okay. Well,
and we will see you on TV because here they broadcast our show on Comcast, our cable channel 25, and UVerse 99. So we're excited about that. They haven't canceled us yet. I keep kidding around. Yeah, I keep kidding around. We're going to be prime time next year. But I love it.
You never know.
I know, right?
We're at a good time slot already for people that are interested in what we do.
Absolutely.
I want to get into a final thought, but I don't know if we have time for it. And that is my final thought I wanted to get into was the spirit marriages in China. I don't know if you know anything about that, what goes on in China. Yeah,
stuff going on in China.
They dig people up, and so they can bury them with people that are already dead. They rob graves, so these people that are in the grave aren't lonely. So it's a crazy thing. But we don't have time to get into it. And it looks like maybe you guys.
I just want to say that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's called ghost weddings. It's over a 3,000-year-old tradition. They actually rob graves so they can bury you again, like so you're not lonely. Bury you with somebody else so you're together in the next world. But that's too crazy. I want to get right into.
They already crossed over. They already met with their families. They're all right.
I think that's what I wanted to get to. I think they're perfectly fine. And I thought you would know that because you're
They're all laughing at them.
Right. You're the one that would know about that because you're already on the other side of the veil a lot.
Yeah.
That's why we picked Ferryman for the opening, because I think that's something that you do. You kind of help that transition. You bridge that gap between the living and the dead.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
I did have a dream about something like that I knew it was real. I was helping people cross over.
Okay.
I was one of the very few dreams that were real that I had.
Yeah, that's why we chose that. I think it was appropriate.
Excellent.
It was a good one for you. And then Kim does the great voices from beyond. Yes. She's excellent at that.
She is.
Yeah, for my inspirational thought, I picked something from Thurgood Marshall. And what Thurgood Marshall said was, he questioned, what is the quality of your intent? And then that's something I talked about a little bit earlier, what your intent was, April, and I wasn't sure about it, but I am sure now. And he goes on to say, what each of us must come to realize is that our intent always comes through. Mm-hmm. What we owe to ourselves and everyone around us is to examine the reasons of our true intent. So I think your reasons are sound. I think your intent is great, and that is to help. That's the same thing that Mama Mary is into it for, to help. That is her mission. I know that. And I realize now that is your mission. It doesn't matter how nice of a smile you have. Mm-hmm. It's what's inside and what your intent is.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And so thanks for being on our show. We know we never said your name, except for Intuitive April and the Psychic Housewife of New Jersey. Yeah. So I don't know if you
go by April, the Psychic Housewife of New Jersey. I started out as Intuitive April because I'm like, what do I call myself for a webpage?
Right.
Because April.com was taken and it's don't look it up.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Great show. Mama Mary, thanks for co-hosting. Kim, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yep.
April, Intuitive April, the Psychic Housewife of New Jersey, thanks so much for visiting with us.
Thank you for having me. And I want to come back again. I'll co-host with you guys.
Okay.
Yes.
Count on it. Peace out. Right.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.